Jets are in.
We're the first team.
Yeah, we're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe. See, that's more natural for us. You've been hanging out with this dude too long.
Can you count, suckers? I say the future is ours. If you can count.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Hold on to your butt. Cause I'm crazy.
Wait, master. It might be dangerous. You go first.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Welcome to episode 39 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic extraordinaire, just hanging out in the Crespo Diso studio with my co-host, Drewster Cogburn. Drew.
What up?
How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing, bro. How you doing?
You know, just hanging out, man. We're so close to episode 40, right? It's right there.
Oh, man.
Nice round number. 39, not a round number.
It makes me feel so old.
Well, as you should. As you are now 39 episodes older.
That's what I'm saying.
We got a special guest here. Actually, we're going to have an interesting guest format for the first time. We have a guest for the first half and a different one for the second half. First half guest for the show is Ivan Lopez. Ivan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for coming on,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm excited to be here, man.
So excited to have you here. Ivan from RampantRadio.com.
That's right. That's right.
Taking on the man.
Taking him down.
Appreciate that. tell the people real quick what Rampant Radio is.
Rampant Radio is basically an online radio station featuring live talk radio shows weekly. We got Answer Pants on Mondays and Eligible Podcast on Wednesdays.
Both shows, which I've had the pleasure of being a guest on.
Yes, you have.
I was just on Answer Pants this past Monday. Was that episode
122? And I hope you had a good time.
It was a great time.
Cool.
Awesome time. Just like when I was on Chupa Podcast with Pedro.
Awesome, man.
We've had Pedro on the show before. We'll have him back on again soon.
Yeah, man. He's a cool guy.
He is a cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been doing the Rampant Radio for?
Rampant Radio, we're going on our 2.5 years, almost 3 years now.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Man, it'll be 3 years in January.
Very
so,
nice.
Yeah, we're working it out.
Very exciting. You know? So I'll give the people like the Twitter, the Facebook, give them the plugs right up front so they know exactly where to go, where they can find the stuff.
Easy enough, at Rampant Radio on Twitter, or you can follow me at the Ivan the OK.
Uh-huh.
Facebook, Rampant Radio Network on Facebook, YouTube channels, Rampant Radio Network. Just follow us everywhere, man.
Absolutely.
iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff.
Instagram. See some pictures of some cute kids.
All over the interwebs. Yeah, badass cute kids that I got. Yeah, check us out.
Hell yeah. So yeah, check all that out, people. All good shows, good entertainment. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Cool.
As the first half progresses. But let's get the show started. We're going to do, as we do every week, the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Drew. You got the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. Chicken.
That's a fancy machine y'all got.
I know, dude. High technology.
Right, so I press this button. Yep. Pull the lever.
Uh-huh. Pull the lever.
And what about this? Oh, God. I hope I didn't press the wrong one. Yeah, okay. I got it.
You got it. All right. Now, don't announce it. Give it to Drew because he has to verify to make sure that Netflix still has it on there. Because we've run
the machine is too advanced for Netflix.
The machine is so advanced. Well, actually, I think the problem is it's not advanced enough. We have to hook it up. We have to find a way to hook it up to Netflix's scheduled algorithm so they know when they dump movies and when they add them. Oh.
You got to slow it down for Netflix, man.
Usually, we're good to go. Every now and then, we run into a roadblock. Drew's giving us a thumbs up. So, Ivan, if you please announce the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Netflix Pick of the Week. It's Super.
Oh, Super. Very, very
I have no idea what this is.
All right. This is not the Joe Pesci movie where he's the superintendent of a slumlord of a building. Have you ever seen that one from the 80s?
I have not.
There's one from the 80s. I think it's called Super. It might be called The Super. Joe Pesci's a slumlord.
I think I've seen parts of it. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
It used
about.
To be on TV a lot back in the day. You
comedy.
Know?
Yeah.
And a judge sentences him to 30 days in his own building. And it's like, you know, there's parties all the time and drug deals. But he becomes friends with the neighbors. And
of course.
Change of heart. hard, blah, blah, blah.
It's a heartfelt story.
But that's not this movie, though. This movie, okay. All right. This movie is, to put it politely, pretty fucked up.
Really?
Yes, it's about a dude played by Rainn Wilson from The Office, right? The nerdy guy with the, I think he has glasses, I don't know. And I have no idea.
We'll go with it. And sure, glasses.
I think he does. And he plays a guy who wants to be a superhero, like a real life superhero. And his and his power is he hits people on the head with a giant like monkey wrench.
That hurts. Damn.
That is one interesting superpower.
And
he's a badass. Yeah.
And I think the first time he uses his powers is like, I think he's in line for a movie to get into a movie theater, and someone cuts in line, and he's like, hey, get to the back of the line. Everyone's like, and he's a dick about it. So first he goes off to his car, like he leaves the line, and he changes into his outfit, and then he comes back out with the wrench and just hammers the dude over the head.
What kind of outfit does he have?
He has like this crazy, like all red outfit with a mask that covers most of his face.
Cape? No cape.
No cape.
Okay.
No cape.
It's important.
And it looks very homemade. You know, it's like hockey. Oh, we got it. We got it, Drew.
Oh, like he does have the wrench. Yeah, it's like a plumber's wrench. Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's like one of those plumbers. Oh man, that's
and he wails on people. Ellen Page plays this very sadistic girl that finds out who he is.
I love Ellen Page.
She's great in this. She plays a crazy girl who like she wants to.
I got a crush on her.
Do you?
Yeah.
You might find this movie a little interesting then. She does some things, you know. I don't want to give away exactly what happened.
I may have seen the clip.
Have
where
you?
There is a scene, I believe, in this movie, if we're talking about the same movie, where I guess she gets obsessed with this particular character, or she wants to, she thinks she's in love with him or something. She wants to have sex with him.
Yes.
And she kind of jumps on him.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that. All right. Yes, I have.
Yeah, well,
I enjoyed it.
That's
all I need to see. I don't need to see the rest of it.
Okay, well, fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough. If that's the only scene you've seen, then Kevin Bacon's in the rest of the movie around that part.
Oh.
He's the bad guy, like the main evil dude. The super guy's, his wife leaves him for Kevin Bacon's like crazy drug character, and like he blames on the drugs and getting him hooked, so he's gonna go after him and stuff. And Ellen Page becomes his Robin.
Damn, I'm gonna check it out.
It's a crazy movie, and it's actually the next big Marvel movie, Guardians of the Galaxy. Are you ever into comic books at all in your life at any point?
I've always wanted to be into comic books and the whole nerd genre.
Yeah.
Never had the time or money to devote to it.
Right.
I love it. I'm a geek at heart. I love all that stuff. Never. $6 for the whole this comic book, or $17 for the set. I couldn't. As a kid, I couldn't do it.
A lot of time and money.
$27 for the character. I was like, man.
Ask this
not
guy about the time and money devoted to comic book.
I can do it.
Lord, you have no idea.
Man, pretty
good
many.
Lord.
But I do love the genre. I love all that stuff, dude. I was never able to get all the stuff or, you know, partake in all that stuff.
Right.
I like it.
Well, the guy who directed Super is directing the next big Marvel movie. So he's going from a really small, like sadistic, kind of crazy meta superhero movie to this big, I guess, how do you describe Guardians of the Galaxy, Drew?
Epic. It's
there's a raccoon with a rocket launcher.
And strange.
Yeah.
It's a weird.
I think Vin Diesel's gonna be the voice of some like giant tree man monster.
This is a big budget film.
Movie, huge movie.
Oh damn,
it's gonna be huge. It comes out 2015.
Something like that.
Next year, 2015.
What's it about, though? I mean,
superheroes.
What would it be about? I guess it's about a
superheroes in space.
Superheroes in space, trying to protect the universe.
That's all I need to know. Thanks.
They're guarding the galaxy, man.
They are guarding. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of their weirder projects.
That's cool. I like stuff like that, though. You know, it's out of the box. It's different.
Off
you know, it's fresh.
Yeah.
I like that. Man.
And they got this guy to direct it, so it's going to be a weird movie. So we'll see. I don't know if anyone will be beaten over the head with a wrench.
He might make a cameo in there. I know.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Super character.
All right, so super. Awesome, awesome Netflix pick. Good job, Ivan. Ivan the okay. That was more.
Ivan, yeah, the okay. I picked super. That's right. There you go.
That was more than okay. Drew, let's do the box office review. What do you got over there?
All right, well, coming in at number five this week, Rush had a weekend gross of $4.4 million. Total gross of $18.09 on a budget of
$38. Rush is it's a pretty good movie. You know this one, Ivan?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for that. It looked okay, but I didn't think it was for me.
Are you either a car guy or a racing guy at all?
Not really. No? Nah, not really.
You know what?
What's up?
Neither am I.
And neither am I.
Neither is he. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Really?
It's actually a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's very good.
CeeLo's on the soundtrack. That's what I heard. Izzy. I'm a big CeeLo fan.
I love CeeLo.
The soundtrack is really good. There's a lot of like period stuff too, from the, because that all takes place in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then some of the original score stuff is also like very, very thrilling. You know, cool. Very typical movie thrilling stuff.
Hey.
But Ron Howard, he knows how to do his true life thing. He does, you know, Apollo 13, Frost Nixon, all, you know, there's movies I does that are based on
quality
real life.
Movies, man. Yeah,
yeah, it's quality stuff.
Hey.
So like, if you ever do, you do like Redbox stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we might Redbox it or something. I mean, the wife or Netflix or one. You know, the download. You know,
do you got the do you have the instant, the Netflix instant?
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
we are borrowing an account.
Excellent. Yeah. They're trying to crack down on that.
Yeah. No, I'm not borrowing an account.
No, I'm not.
It's legit.
They're not gonna that way. I mean, they know what's happening.
It's a family member. I'm sure they'll be okay with that.
They're also trying to set up ways to allow that. You can have multiple profiles and you can share them with other people if you want.
We do it like once a month. We don't abuse it. You know what I mean?
Oh well, you should abuse it. You should abuse the hell out of it. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Maybe I will. Damn it, man. You know?
Hey. I'll push you on that one.
Cool.
All right, Drew, what's the next movie on the old box office?
Number four this week, Prisoners, had a weekend gross of $5.7 million, total gross of $47.8, budget of $46.
So it's making its money.
Working on it.
Making its money. And it's a long, kind of depressing movie.
Kind of depressing?
All right, it's a pretty depressing movie.
It's a really depressing movie.
But it's a well-made movie.
Correct.
You know, and, you know, there is some hope in there. It's not all depression. It is about kids being took. And their parents looking for him.
I saw the trailer for that too.
Yeah, the trailer gives you like 2/3 of the movie at least.
Yeah, and you know, I got kids. Me and the wife saw the trailer together, and we were like, I don't know if I should see this movie, because then that would freak out as a parent. It's like, oh no, we can't let them go out. We gotta keep them in the house for all times. I don't want to freak out, man.
And also, as a parent, the movie will.
Cops are here. Holy crap!
As a parent, the movie will ask you. Very specific moral questions about how far you would go to find your.
Oh, I'm
kid.
A maniac. I don't give a shit. Dude.
That's a thing.
I will hurt somebody. I don't give a shit if they had nothing to do with it or not. If I think you have something to tell me and you're hiding something, I will probably kill you if I could get my kids back.
I don't give a shit.
There's no moral. As long as my kids are safe.
Yeah.
You know, then I go to jail for the rest of my life. That's it.
That's it, man. That's exactly what a part of the movie is about. How far will a parent go? You know, that's the Hugh Jackman. Character. That's what he's pretty much the main character of the movie too. But then Jake Gyllenhaal plays like the mysterious young hotshot cop type dude.
Right. Yeah. You know? It seemed very good though. Yeah.
It is good. It's very good. I mean, if you want to see a good movie, I'd recommend it. But if you don't want to get stressed out, you can skip it. It's not gonna make or break your life to see this movie.
Cool.
You know?
Cool.
All right. What's the next movie on the box office five, dude?
Number three this week, Runner had a weekend gross of $7.6 million. Total gross the same on a budget of $30.
Runner. I wanted to. I didn't have it here. I wanted to pull up on Rotten Tomatoes all the quotes for the different critics and how bad that movie is.
Oh, really?
People are just shitting. I mean, it's only got it.
I had no interest in watching this movie. I saw the trailer for that too.
I had
no interest.
I had interest.
Really?
Until the reviews came out. Yeah, I like the Timberlake.
You like the Ben Affleck guy?
Ben Affleck's cool.
Batfleck.
I like him more when he directs himself. I like him as a director. When he's just acting as, you know, I don't know about him.
He
as
just
an
seems
actor.
Very douchey at all times. He does 100% come, of the times, he's just a douchebag.
He
and
does
I don't.
Come across as douchey. Bruce Wayne could be kind of douchey.
You know. Yeah, he can. You're right.
Batman's a douche. You know,
Batman is kind of a douche.
Yeah, I mean, he really is.
What the hell, man?
And
he's
a buzzkill.
He's a buzzkill. He's harshed on everyone's good time in Gotham, you know, just because he saw his parents die.
Yeah.
Bats.
Oh, I'm scared of bats.
I know. What the hell?
Stupid
douchebag.
What a dick.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know where we were going. Runner. Oh, yeah,
yes.
That's right. I did want to see it. And actually, I bumped into someone at the theater who just got out of the movie, and he said it was really good. They enjoyed it. I was like, oh, all right, that's cool. And that was before I even bothered checking online. And then Drew mentioned
8% tomato meter.
8% tomato meter. That means 8% of the reviews out there are positive. It has an average rating of like 4 out of 10. So not that's a Redbox movie.
Now
I want a Redbox just to see what went wrong.
Yeah. Now they say that this was based on a true story. Is that how true of a story?
Well, it's true that there's internet poker.
Yeah, right. I get that.
And it's probably true that there was some kid at an Ivy League college trying to pay for his school using it.
Yeah, that's probably true too.
And it's true that there are scummy people running these internet casinos in other countries.
So when you say
take those three people, take those three stories, combine them into one.
When they say inspired by true events, it doesn't mean they're all connected events. Oh, there's all different events.
Inspired. That's the key word.
They're very picky and choosy about those words when you see these movies. Inspired by true events, true story, blah, blah, blah. You know, I guess the faker it is, they have to. Maybe there's like union guidelines or something that says you can't.
Maybe. I don't know.
Truth in advertising.
That'd be strange.
It's like the never ending story.
It ends.
It ended.
Spoiler alert.
Want my money back on that one.
I love that movie.
That is
everybody does.
That's right.
That is a great movie. The sequel, I don't know.
That one, oh, God. No.
Just has some weird parts that freaked me out. Side note, I wanted to talk a little bit about some podcasting and indie radio and all that, too. So, real quick, you said you've been doing Rampant Radio for 2.5 years. What were you doing? Were you doing anything before that? Or was Rampant Radio the beginning?
No, before that, I did the Evan Lopez Show for a while, but it was never a show because I couldn't get the right group of people in there.
Yeah.
So it was basically why I just decided you know what, I need to just take a time out and reinvent it.
All
right. And it became Rampant Radio. But it all started basically, I guess in 2007, I started developing a really deep interest in talk radio.
And how did that come about? What was the trigger for that?
The trigger, after, I hate to sound tacky, but after September 11th, I kind of had an awakening. Before that, I just listened to music. When I was in my car on my commute to work, I would listen to music, jams, whatever.
Right.
After September 11th, I kind of wanted opinions. I wanted to see what was going on in the world, and talk radio gave me that.
You wanted more information?
Yeah, I wanted some information, and I just wanted to hear people's take on things. I kind of grew up a little bit. You know, it's weird. It's one of those things that happen in life that push you in at a different direction in
life.
Makes
sense.
And I wanted talk radio gave me that. And I listened casually for a few years, but it wasn't until like 2007 where just listening wasn't enough for me anymore. It became...
You started getting that itch there. Yeah.
I was like, you know, it's not enough to listen anymore. It's not. I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to a point where, you know what, I want to do this. But, you know, at that stage in my life, I was too poor and it was too late for me to go back to school and hopefully land an unpaid internship somewhere at some radio station.
For a radio industry that's shrinking by the minute.
It's dying. Let's face it. Terrestrial radio is dying.
Absolutely.
It's dying. Absolutely. And we're killing it. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. We're helping right now.
We're murdering it.
We're jumping
that's what
on
we're
the
doing.
Course.
Oh, yeah. I love it, dude. So, I mean,
beating that dead horse.
Yeah, I couldn't go back to school. I didn't have the money or time to go back to school and hopefully land an unpaid internship and then hopefully land a minimum wage job at some radio station. So I did the next logical thing.
Started your own.
I built a radio station in my house, basically.
And it's a pretty sweet little setup you got there, dude. You got to say, with the TVs and you got everything hooked up with the computer, dude, you can watch videos and stuff.
It took a long time, dude. What I did,
sure.
I guess I've never said anything how it built. I don't know. I may have told Etchy, and that's about it. But the way it all started is when I finally decided this is what I wanted to do, I knew how to do a little bit of graphic design. So I started kind of selling on eBay custom birthday graphics, like birthday cards and invitations and little goodie boxes, little Mario coin goodie boxes.
Nice.
And I sold a ton of that stuff for about a year, but it was, you know, like every couple of months I would buy one mic. And then 2 months after that, I would buy the mixer. And a month after that, I would buy another mic. It took about a year and a half for me to get all the components together to perform that
know,
radio sound and everything like that.
Right.
But then I had a problem. The whole studio set for another year because I couldn't get anybody to the house to do a podcast or show because I lived out in Point Siena.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was horrible. So it wasn't until I moved to East Orlando and then I got with Pedro Lima on Twitter, and I started to say, hey, I got the studio here all set up, and I just need some heads in here,
just
man.
Just need some content.
I need some content. I need some people here. Let's go. I want to do a show.
Yeah.
And we got together, and Rampant Radio was born, man.
All right, so number two movie of the week, Drew.
Number two movie this week, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Had a week in gross, $21.5 million. Total gross is $60.5 on a budget of $78.
Cloudy 2, not as well-reviewed as the first one. I'm sure as a parent, you're a big fan of this.
Yeah, man, and we saw the first one. We enjoyed it, you know?
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I love the first one.
We'll all see this one. We'll see this one on Redbox, though. Let's just
IMAX.
It's not even on the IMAX.
I know.
The IMAX is currently being taken up by the number one movie.
Number one movie this week is Gravity with a weekend gross of $55.55 million. Sam's the total on a budget of $100 million.
Oh, Gravity's so good.
It was amazing. Good.
Sandra Bullock fan, yes.
I love Sandra Bullock.
Drew is not.
I hate Sandra Bullock.
I am very attracted to her, and I want to do things to her.
I would agree, but I don't know. She's as she gets older, her face gets more skeletony every year.
She is 48.
Yeah.
But still.
There's something there. I just want to do something.
I'm a fan.
I like it.
I'm a fan of
so this movie you definitely recommend.
So good, so ridiculous. I mean, it's super tense. It's a 90 minutes of just, what does this lady do? She's stuck in space. She's got to get back to Earth. It's so far away. How many?
And she's running out of oxygen.
She's running out of oxygen. She has a thing on her head. And
she's running out of oxygen.
She's breathing
there's
carbon dioxide.
There's a shrapnel storm.
Wow.
There's
a shrapnel storm that keeps coming back around because it's orbiting.
There's tricky parachutes.
Parachutes in space.
All right, well,
really?
Yeah. Parachutes that went off by accident.
Oh,
and they're
God.
Screwing things up. And then
she's not having a good time up there.
Oh, no.
Oh, this isn't like a vacation.
She is having the worst time
ever.
Oh,
really?
Actually, the movie does start with her. She's just doing her normal spacewalk. Everything's A-okay. And she's like, oh, I'm not feeling well. She's like nauseous. And she's just fighting through that.
She's carrying my baby. She's pregnant.
That's probably what it is. And then from that point forward, things just get worse and worse for this poor lady.
Well, that's what usually happens when I impregnate a woman. Things get worse.
That's a lot like Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
You said that this was like a castaway, in space.
It's castaway. Yeah. It ends up being one character for the most part. Like, she's by herself, but it's still so riveting. You know, Tom Hanks is so watchable.
Right.
And it's so, you just want to see what he has. How does he survive? What does he do next? You know, it's the same thing with this movie where each little move that she does is so important. Like, how does she get from A to B? And what does she do when she gets there? And how the hell does she plan on getting back to fucking Earth?
Yeah, because, you know, once you're flying in space, that's pretty much where you're going, right?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, you can come back to Earth, but you might burn up in the atmosphere.
That's right, yeah. Even if you manage to go back, you're going to incinerate immediately. Yeah. Like, it's not going to be pretty.
No.
It's tricky. It's tricky getting back to Earth. It's not like
let me go there.
It's not like we're going to Tampa.
No.
We're getting back from space to Earth.
It hurts a lot, apparently, without a proper shuttle.
Yes.
It hurts a lot.
Yeah, and there's no shuttle in this movie. That shuttle gets fucked up. Oh, that's
real quick.
Oh my God, it's in the
I want to see this now. It's see, I want to know. I want to know what happens.
It's
man.
Great. Would you see it in 3D? Are you a 3D guy?
I can't do 3D. For variety of reasons. Two reasons.
Yeah.
One, I just hate it.
True.
Because I feel it's just a ploy for people to get, you know, pay like $13 or $14,
$16
for a stupid ticket. And the other reason is basically I'm blind in one eye and it doesn't work for me. It's stupid. It's nonsensical for me to watch this.
Life is in 2D for you. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why? Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not gonna
that's just a waste 3D. Of money.
And plus, I wear glasses. I'm not going to wear glasses on top of glasses.
That's the thing. I got glasses. I have to wear 3D glasses over my glasses to be able to watch a 3D movie.
Like
it's so annoying. Because of scheduling purposes or whatever and timing issues, I end up seeing the movie in 3D. And Drew
saw it
in
2D.
The 3D was great.
I'm not sure.
It's like some of the best 3D that's out there. It's really, really incredible how it's done. But as far as telling the story, I mean, yeah, I guess in the beginning you feel a little more like you're in space, slightly more like you're floating around. But like any 3D movie, halfway through it, I forget I'm even watching it.
Yeah.
And then I'm just watching a movie with fucking gray sunglasses, you know, and it's making everything darker.
Yep.
So annoying.
I can't stand it. Do you think it's just a fad that will eventually go away, or 3D is here to stay?
I'm pretty sure 3D is here to stay.
3D is as an option is going to be here to stay because, as you said, people will show out the extra dollars for a 3D. The theater I was at, there were people there. You know, they were all there to see it in 3D. I was there because I was like, damn it.
Now, do you think that it eventually will all be 3D? They will never have a 2D movie? Like, one day you'll walk into the theater, everything's already in 3D. That's it. Here's your glasses, sit down, watch the damn movie.
There have been times when certain movies have been almost practically, like, exclusively in 3D.
Like Gravity. Man. There were only three showings at the...
Yeah, that's true. But there were two theaters worth of 3D showings. Yeah, it's very limited 2D showings for Gravity.
Oh, man.
That is very annoying.
I'm downloading it.
Yeah, well, there you go. Take that, Hollywood. You try
that's
to get extra money, now you get no money.
That's
ooh,
right.
Smack.
That's
nothing.
That's that rampant radio style.
That's what we do. We jack your shit.
90s talk. There you go.
That's right. Symbol. Symbol, please. Thank you.
All right. So our rating system, I would definitely say, people, go out and see this movie in theaters.
Yes. Yeah. The biggest, largest, most expensive theater you can see it in.
Yes.
Yeah.
3D.
I mean, it's unfortunate that the IMAX is in 3D, but if you can see it in IMAX, I think that'd be worth it because the screen is so big.
Oh,
and
I would love to.
And like the floating camera like that, I'm sure that really must be really, really cool. So there you go. Gravity, that's the number one movie. We got new movies coming out this weekend on DVD. We actually have a lot of movies coming out. It's kind of crazy.
All right.
Much Ado About Nothing. Josh Whedon's William Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing to
don't
be
care.
Exact. Josh Whedon, who's coming off of The Avengers. Actually, while he was, I think right before he did The Avengers, for some reason, he decided he wanted to make a really quick, cheap movie. So he did.
Jumped on this thing?
So he jumped on Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, and he filmed the whole thing in his house.
He wanted to find himself as a thespian.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I guess people that are Whedon fans like it. I don't know. All the fanboys love it. The fanboys love it. I think they call themselves brown coats, which makes me think of flashers.
Flashers, yeah. Little trench coats. Yeah, yeah,
that's
flashers.
Right, yeah, but yeah. That's what they call themselves, brown coats. Mm. Hangover Part 3 comes out on DVD. Not a fan of all those movies, either.
I loved the first and second one. I lost interest somewhere along the line. I didn't watch the third one. I heard bad reviews about it, so I was like, you know what?
It's a different movie. That's why.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, really?
It's not a hangover movie.
It's weird.
It's so strange.
It's barely a comedy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a dark sort of comedy thriller type of thing.
So you like it? You like this movie?
I don't know about that.
Don't go crazy. Let's not go crazy. All right.
Yeah, let's not go overboard. As a hangover movie, I think it leaves something to be desired. But I can see like what they were trying to do. They were going
There's some good points
different.
About it, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's worth the red box or, you know, just to see what that they did try. Because a lot of people were like, well, Hangover 2 is just a remake of the first one, but
I
in a different
it.
City, right?
That's cool.
It is cool.
Bangkok.
But you know, for the third one, is now something totally different. Same characters.
Yeah.
Something different,
though. All right, cool. Red box that.
Yeah,
cool.
It's worth checking out. Also, they might want a red box After Earth.
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
I heard that was horrible.
And his boy Jaden.
It was pretty terrible.
It was amazing.
I liked the costume design. I thought the costume design was cool. That suit that they wore was awesome.
It does have some good production design.
Yeah.
It absolutely does.
CGI was okay in it? Or kind of cheesy?
Yeah, no, CGI wasn't bad.
For most of it, yeah, it was good. It was just, I don't know, it was kind of a very simple story. Mm-hmm. And it's all Jaden Smith. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the opposite of Gravity or Castaway, where instead of watching Tom Hanks, or old Sandy, you're watching Jaden Smith.
Okay.
And it's like a...
He doesn't have that kind of tower behind
no,
him.
He's no Will.
He's not Will.
He's not his daddy. Nah. He's not old Willard. I think Will's name is Willard. I think
wow.
so.
Wow, okay.
The Purge, coming out on DVD.
That wasn't bad for a home invasion movie.
It was a home invasion movie.
Heard about this. I'm curious to check this out. I might have to Redbox this as well.
Yeah,
but the wife doesn't watch scary movies, though. And I always miss out on scary movies.
It's a thriller, not a scary movie.
Yeah, but she doesn't anything. There's a thriller. There's
it's
a
just
scare.
Really violent.
Yeah, it's in the dark. Yeah, I can see you blind.
The whole
yeah.
premise is awesome, though.
But the thing is, they don't explore that premise of whole, like, what's going on in the world on that one day, because it all takes place in the one house. But they are making a Purge 2 because this movie made so much money. So maybe Purge 2 will be about what's happening in the world.
That would be awesome.
It won't just be another home invasion movie. So check that one out. It's not bad.
Might check it out.
Direct to video Curse of Chucky. A brand new Chucky movie.
Direct to video.
Yeah, but
damn.
And it was designed from the get go. It was never going to be a theatrical movie, but apparently they took it back. You know, the first Chucky was more about being kind of scary, and then as movies progressed, they got sillier and sillier.
Yes.
This one's supposed to be about going back to the beginning, and not story-wise, but in terms of mood and, you know, trying to make it kind of a scary thing. And this is the first CG Chucky doll.
Yeah, before it was
no
all...
No puppet?
Yeah,
no puppet.
It was all puppets and actual dolls.
There might be an actual puppet or two in a few shots.
Because that's what sold the movie to me, was just him kind of...
It looks so real. Yeah, like a stiff little doll.
A little stiff little puppet.
Now it's gonna
like
look,
that.
Now it's going to look like Ted.
Yeah.
Like a little teddy bear.
We'll see you at 10.
And finally on DVD, do you remember this movie that you saw, Europa Report, when you were in New York?
I saw that.
That's finally coming out on DVD. Would you recommend people check that one out?
Yeah, totally. If you're into weird little space movies, I mean, coming off of Gravity, that I think would be a fun little double feature.
Really?
Nowhere near as good as Gravity, but still worth watching.
It's a directed DVD equivalent of sorts.
Yeah.
All right, what's coming out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this week, we have Captain Phillips. Tom Hanks is...
Speaking of old Tommy Hanks.
Paul Greengrass's Captain Phillips.
This one, I'm looking forward to it. Somali pirates take over. It's based on a true story. Somali pirates take over an American freighter, and they take the captain hostage, Captain Phillips, on like a little boat, and then it's about the standoff with the Navy and stuff.
Yep.
Cool.
Somali pirates die, and Tom Hanks lives at the end.
Spoiler.
That's right.
Spoiler. Yep. True story, spoiler. I mean, it is based on a true story. Titanic sinks. The boat sinks at the end of Titanic.
Spoiler alert.
Go back and check out our episode, spoiler alert, for about 25 other movie spoilers.
Yeah,
so Captain Phillips, looking forward to that one. That's definitely going to be the big movie on the weekend. What else is coming out?
Also coming out this weekend, one of my favorite, well, I mean, I think this movie's going to be awesome, Machete Kills.
Hey, this is going to be fun.
Yes.
Have you seen the first Machete?
No, I haven't. I've heard great things about it. I never checked it out. Is this like almost like an Expendables kind of feel to it?
Even better. A lot more campy.
More throwback. Like we're making fun of like the 70s, early 80s action movies. Nice. But with a Mexican slant. I think Rodriguez calls it Mexploitation, you know. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Very violent.
Horribly violent. Really.
Cartoonishly violent.
Yeah, cartoonishly. Exactly. Really red blood, and it splatters everywhere.
And then a lot of stunt casting. This movie has Lady Gaga. It has Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, a lot of big names are on there.
Machine Gun Brawl.
Carlos Estevez
as the president. Carlos Estevez. Mel Gibson is a bad guy in this one. And he's also going to be a bad guy in Expendables 3, speaking of the Expendables.
Cool.
There's a connection there. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, check that out.
Machete Kills is going to be fun. And then they already announced with the sequel, the third movie is going to be called Machete Kills Again.
And it's Machete in Space.
And it's going to take place in space. It's going to be, so imagine Gravity mixed with Machete. That'll be Machete Kills Again.
Genius. Yeah. That's what that is.
That is genius, absolutely. And what else is coming out in theaters?
Also coming out in theaters this week, The Fifth Estate.
The WikiLeaks movie.
Yes.
I don't, you know.
I'm not interested at all.
It's an interesting story, but I don't know why you go ahead and make a movie about something that just happened like 2 months ago. You know, this guy's still living somewhere. He's going to see a movie about himself.
And Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be playing him.
Man, what? Talk about an ego boost.
Imagine Seriously.
If you could go to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
if I go to a movie theater and I see a movie based on my life and Benicio del Toro's playing me, I'm like, hey, I don't care if I'm being portrayed as some sort of like dictator or. You know, something horrible. I'm like, hey, it's Del Toro. Yeah. I'm getting that respect.
Plus, I think they're portraying him as a hero. From the trailer, it sounds like
of
he's
sorts.
Like an absolute just hero.
Yeah, and based on political thought process or whatever and the way you see national security, that's definitely a divided opinion, you know?
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to make the answer movie to that where he's like the bad guy. Maybe they'll make like a Mission Impossible 6. And they'll have like a Julian Assange type villain. He's giving out a
maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
That's
but yeah,
someone should start writing that.
Hey, I don't know. I don't have an interest in that movie at all.
That one's not gonna do so hot going up against Machete Kills or Captain Phillips.
Absolutely not.
I'll be surprised if it makes the old top five there. Right, well, there you go. That's the first half of the show. Real quick before we go, what's next for Rampant Radio? Where do you see it in the next year or two, Ivan?
We're just going to keep trying to add more shows to the network.
Yep.
Good quality content. That's what it's all about.
Right.
Live quality content as much as we can add on there. We are selective, of course, but you know, hopefully we'll bring two or three more shows before the next year is over. This year is almost over now, but look for us. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and go to rampantradio.com for more information.
And if you're local here in Orlando and you're interested in maybe trying to get a show on the network, I say go ahead and get in touch with Ivan, see if maybe you can work something out.
Nope.
Go ahead and apply.
Don't contact me.
Go ahead and contact them.
It's not going to happen.
Ivan
the OK. Hit me up on air, and you may, 99% chance, going to probably get rejected, but we'll talk. Hey, we'll talk, man.
Only the best. It's like Top Gun.
I don't mess with just regular people, though, man. It's
absolutely,
you know.
Hey,
cream of the crop.
We got a big audience here. You never know who's listening.
That's it, man.
You never know who's listening.
We have tens of people listening.
We have tens.
Tens of people.
And I'm not even talking about talent. I'm just talking about just the crazy meter. You know, I don't want to deal with just the nutbags that are out there, man. I gotta hear you out first, see what you're all about.
If we're talking about the crazy meter, we are talking about listeners of our show. So they're going to be kind of crazy. Yeah,
they're definitely going to be.
I love you guys.
On the other end of the crazy meter.
we're all friends here. All right, we're gonna take a break now. We're going to end the first half of the show. So, Ivan, thank you very much for coming on.
Dude, thank you guys so much for having me. I really, really had a good time, and it was awesome to be here.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. We got the Crespo Disco, a couple songs from the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack. The Pointer Sisters. Anyone Pointer Sisters fans? Yes, no?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, not really.
Yes. The Neutron Dance. Dun, 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 dun. All right, we're going to start with that one. And then Glenn Frey's The Heat Is On. Hope you guys enjoy these songs. And then we'll be back with the second half of the show with the Crespo Dome and our new guest, Etchy from Anchor Pants.
Yay!
All right. So we'll be
right
back.
It's all kinds of crazy.
Yes, let's get into that. We'll be right back.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special message. How's it going, eh? Today's movie on the Universal National Network is a classic, starring the two comedic geniuses of North American cinema from the 20th century, Bob and Doug McKenzie. Entitled Strange Brew, it chronicles the heroic adventures of two latter-day Renaissance men, or, to use the correct 20th century terminology, hosers. We give it 3 thumbs up.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
All right, welcome back to the second half of episode 39 of Cinema Crespedito. It is me, Christopher Crespo, with Drew.
What up?
And our new guest, Etchy.
I love this song.
Oh, the funky
Danger Doom. Bear.
Yeah.
It's Danger Doom, right?
Yeah, he sampled. He used this, the original. This is the original one that he sampled for the... Oh,
it was a different song. That one, the one you're talking about for the... for what?
Drew had it, remember?
Yeah, it was on some Adult Swim nonsense.
Right. Yeah, that's how. Yeah.
God. Every time, and it's and a lot of times when I turn people onto Danger Doom, they're like, I'm like, here, listen to this, and I'll turn it to a popular track, like the one that they did always, like for commercials for the Boondocks.
Yeah.
I couldn't even hum it now. I don't know, but I mean, it's one that people go, wait, I've heard this before. I'm like, yeah, I know.
It's because it's this guy.
And you know how good it is.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. He knows what's up. But this, the original is a funky fanfare that they use in like the trailers in the 1970s movie theaters. It will say the film coming presentation or whatever. And it was all like funky looking. And it was a funky fanfare.
Yeah.
And I just think movies want to hear this song, I always.
Yeah, definitely.
But thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Etchy from the show Answer Pants, which I was just on this past Monday.
Yes, it was fun.
I recommend people check out that show. It's a good time. It's pretty much an hour of people sitting around shooting the shit, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You've been doing it 122 episodes?
Yeah. So, I always say, like, when asked, I'm like, what is it, episode 212? And Ivan always goes, dude, that's like 2 years from now.
You're anxious to get to 212? So it's one a week. So what's one that's 52, 120 weeks about? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Exactly, yeah.
We're just doing 39. Time. We're marveling at doing 39. You're at 120.
Are you doing once a week?
We can do once a week, yeah. And then I don't count the bonus episodes towards the total amount. Yeah, there's a little throwaway of things here. Half an hour here, 40 minutes there. You know. We appreciate you coming on. We know we're just doing a second half with you now, so we're going to have you come back in sooner rather than later, so we're going to have you do a whole show.
I'm up for it.
Well, we got you for the second half, so that's great. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Where can people find you and Answer Pants on the interwebs?
It's Etchy just about everywhere. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Etchy.
Yeah, and that's E-T-C-H-I-E.
Yes. And Facebook, Steve Etchy.
All right.
I just started back on, what's it called?
MySpace.
The picture one.
Instagram.
I created something like a year and a half ago. I created an account.
And never used it.
And just like 2 days ago, I was like, you know what? I never used this. And so kind of went back to it. So nice. I only have a few pictures, but it's...
Already pictures of cats?
Steve_edgy. No, I do not have cats. My wife wants a cat really bad. And
you should get one so you can take tons of pictures of it.
I have a dog, though.
So many
I have a dog.
Pictures of dogs.
Oh,
screw the cat. Yeah. You got a dog. You're right.
That's not only that, but I have a Siberian husky. So anytime you walk them out anywhere, people are like,
that's that'll freak people out.
Yeah.
It's not quite an Akita, but they'll still mess
with you. They're stunning, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. The other time, oh my God, that's beautiful. And you're like, they're not talking about you.
Yeah. So, it's just my dog.
Yeah.
All right. So, the show is on Twitter at CrespoDiso, and on Twitter, I am at I am Chris Crespo. Drew.
At Antihera419. Same on Instagram.
And Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. All right. Let's get this. I got a lot to talk about, guys. This is a pretty packed show. On Twitter, at Mr. Nadathon, show listener, good guy. He pointed me to this article. In Variety is reporting that HBO is fulfilling one of my little dreams, Drew, that I mentioned recently on the show.
And which dream is that?
Have you ever seen the movie Westworld, Etchy?
Westworld?
Westworld. It's from the 70s with Yul Brynner.
I don't think so.
This guy, Yul Brynner. he was in, he's the Pharaoh in the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston.
Oh, yeah. I knew he looked.
Yeah, the bald guy.
He's got the eyes going on.
Yeah, well, this one, too, they did an effect with his eyes to make him look like a robot. Because in Westworld, it's a movie from the 70s about a theme park where it's a lot of, like, robot, like, cyborgs are taking care of the place.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's one section that's called Westworld, and it's all about the Old West. And there's another one that's, like, medieval world, and there's another one that's, like, another time period. So in Westworld, there's, like, robot bartenders, robot gunfighters.
And cleaning up the streets.
Yeah, and you can walk around, and as a guest, you walk around the park, and you pretend that you're in the Old West. Like, they give you the clothes, and they dress you up, and then you interact with these robots, and it's like you're doing old-timey stuff.
That's awesome.
And then about 30, 40 minutes into the movie, things start breaking down and the robots start killing the guests.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
it's very much like Jurassic Park. It is written and directed by Michael Crichton, who wrote Jurassic Park, so that's why it has
the
same. I love
Michael Crichton.
So you should definitely check out Westworld from the 70s. Great stuff.
Have you ever read the book, Jurassic Park?
Yes, I read the book.
So insanely different.
I think I might have even read it before. No, I read it after I saw the movie. But the whole, like, the...
It's just, it goes completely different.
Yeah, there's that river chase scene that everyone wants to see in the movie that never happened.
It had all the characters, and that was the only difference. Like, the premise that the dinosaurs were there, the characters in it, and that was it.
That just means the door is still open, wide open, to remake the movie.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
true.
Say, I'm doing it based on more on the book. I'm going back to what the book says, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to remake Steven Spielberg's classic. You all love that, but I just want to make,
In fact, I'm not even remaking. I'm making the original.
Right, it's not even a remake. I'm doing the correct way. Take that. But this movie, Westworld, it's one that I think is ripe for a remake. I thought it would have been a great remake update for modern audiences. Mm-hmm. But it looks like HBO is doing it with J.J. Abrams, and they're doing it as a miniseries, or as nice. I guess as a TV series. Okay. Just a little information here, blah, blah, blah. It's and it's going to be written and directed by Jonathan Nolan,
okay,
brother of Christopher Nolan.
Nice.
Who he's currently the showrunner on that show Person of Interest on CBS with Jim Caviezel.
It is the most interesting show I've never seen.
Do you know
what I mean?
It's one of those things. It does have a good premise. I watched the first few episodes and then I couldn't get into
it. I think I watched the first one, and I'm just one of those people that I forget to DVR stuff and I forget when stuff's on. So, like, stuff I want to see, it's just like when other people always say, I'm going to see that movie, but they never go to the theaters.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people too.
That happens.
Yeah.
That happens to me. Yeah, well, we almost didn't see it. We still got to talk about Don John.
Correct.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But just reading here that Jonathan Nolan, his show, Person of Interest, the CBS show, is also done with Bad Robot as well, J.J. Abrams' production company.
Oh, nice.
There we go. So they got a whole working relationship thing going on, the Abrams and the Nolan
King. He might have one of the best, the end caps of the... Bad Robot production. That might be one of the best ones.
The robot that pops up out of the grass. Yeah, that thing is pretty cool.
I love it.
Okay, let's talk about Don John real quick, or else I'll forget. We finally saw Don John. That came out last week. what did it come out? It was in the top five.
I was number six.
It was number six. I was expecting to be in the top five. So Don John's a good movie. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the kid from Third Rock
from
the Sun.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's great, and it's his directorial debut. He wrote it and directed this movie. And he started it, and it's pretty much a rom-com, but with lots of sex in it. It's because most rom-coms these days have no sex in them.
Yeah.
They've kind of gotten more to it. What was the one with Kutcher and...
Just Married?
No. And Natalie Portman?
The Friends with Benefits one.
Yeah, I think
there was
called,
the
I
other one.
Like
No Strings Attached.
No Strings Attached. That's what it was.
I think that one was supposed to be surprisingly sexless for being a movie about a guy sex
just
buddy.
Hooking up.
It wasn't promiscuous because it was just them having sex the whole time. Like, it's not like there was a period during the movie where... things went wrong, so they started fucking other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, stuff went wrong, but they never went and fucked other people.
Right.
God, I think I just ruined the movie for a lot of people. But it was a good movie.
If they haven't seen it by now, then.
It was actually a pretty good movie, but it felt like there was a lot of sex in it, but it wasn't promiscuous or seen in any kind of rough light.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like... he started giving it to her in the kitchen and, bent her over. You know what I mean? Like, some kind of like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There was none of that.
Well, this one, the main character, John, they call him Don John or whatever.
Yeah.
It's very much about him, how both he gets laid all the time. Mm-hmm. So they show him having sex with a lot of different chicks. And how he
watches a lot
porn.
Of porn. Like, so it shows him jerking off a lot.
Like, an average of like 7 times a day watching porn, this guy. He's got a problem.
Yeah.
Watching porn is cool.
I mean,
cool,
that's a legitimate problem,
that's an addiction.
God, can you imagine before mobile phones?
Right.
If you had that problem,
he had to be able to go anywhere.
He totally uses it on his phone.
He had to use his mobile phone at one point to get around an issue, with the being able to watch his old porn. But it's very much a romantic comedy, but also about a guy who's hooked on internet porn. And he knows a lot about sex, but he doesn't know nothing about intimacy.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, and it's a pretty good, it's a pretty well-made movie.
Yeah.
It's edited really, it's got like the style to it where a lot of repetition of imagery and you know, I've seen this in the marketing a lot, but it's true. It's a good way to put it. It's a very confident movie. You know, like
I like that.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt knew what he wanted to do. He had his character set, and he made the movie he wanted to make. It's pretty obvious.
That's actually the biggest reason I wanted to see it was because I like that. I knew he'd never written something,
right?
And he was directing it. It's his first time directing too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I love him as an actor. Anything you've ever seen him in. And I used to watch Third Rock.
Oh, yeah. Well, how can you not? It's got John Lithgow.
You got old Lithgow.
Yeah, that's true.
Go, but, go, I mean, Lithgow.
Even when they were still playing episodes of that, when it was still, you know, like, the show hadn't ended yet, and I was, like, I don't know how long. I was a kid, though, you know. Right, and yeah, I just remember thinking, like, this guy, like, that kid's going to grow up and continue.
And actually be good.
He's going to have a huge career. Of course, and, I also thought that about that. The woman... And she's had a little bit of one, you know. She's
Who played the?
Well, she's so funny.
She is funny, but she really didn't have much of a shot. It's harder for women.
Yeah, but as a kid, I thought the same thing about her. I was like, she's going places. And then
obviously with Lithgow, it was like, oh well, they just got this fantastic.
He's
actor.
Been exactly. places. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
Harriet Henderson's over here.
So when you not only see, in Joseph Gordon-Levitt, especially as of late. You know, with Inception, and you know, like there were like blockbusters, like three in a row of some, I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, one of them, Batman, G.I. Joe.
Yeah, he's in Batman. Just every time you turn around and see a fantastic movie, he is in it. And so you feel like a supporter, like, oh, I love this guy.
Yeah.
So when you see that in the previews, you see that type of directing, that it is very confident. It is very in your face. Bam, this is what's happening. Here are these characters. This is what's going to go down. You should see this movie.
Yeah.
And they say it's directed and written by him, and, you know, and it's first time doing both. And I'm going, oh, yes, I have to see it. Like, I was pumped.
Well, that is definitely worth checking. If you're that excited about it, definitely check it out in the theater, because it won't let you down. It's a very well-made movie. Tony Danza's in it, and
he
plays this asshole father. He's such a jerk. Oh, I wanted to punch Tony Danza in the face.
So he did a good job then.
He did a great, great job.
Because it tends to be hard. Like, if you're already established, like, people know your name as an actor,
and
you play a total douche asshole,
yeah.
Unless people already think you're an asshole, that's really hard to kind of pull off and get people to really hate you.
Yeah, like, oh, he's just playing an asshole.
Yeah, you're like, Tony Danza's an asshole. That's cute.
And this one, the character is written so well, they're like, oh, this guy sucks, man. Oh, he sucks so much. But really, very well made. So I would definitely say, if you get a chance to, you know, anyone out there listening, I would say check this out in the theater. It's maybe a matinee, you know, to try to save a couple bucks. What do you think, Drew? Is it a matinee?
I would agree.
Or would you say, you know, yeah?
If you can save a couple bucks, I mean, by all means, it's, you know, it's not like this giant visually striking movie, you know. It's right. It's not like it's Gravity.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it. You could wait for Redbox if need be. It's not like you got to see it in the theater, but I would say it's
worth. But it definitely should be seen.
I would say it's worth going to check out if you like seeing movies in theaters.
And I do actually, I like the theater experience. I haven't been in forever. I probably go to the movies about like once a year.
Yeah.
Honestly. And the reason for that is because I hate people. I love people.
Fair enough.
I hate people in theaters.
Fair enough.
You know,
they can be very annoying.
Yeah. And these days you spend so much just to see one movie that it's like, I need to be guaranteed everything's going to be awesome because I spent this much money, and you can't guarantee that.
Nor
can you even come close.
That's why you got to do a cheap matinees, man. Well, $5 ticket, you know, and then if something, and then hopefully something doesn't go wrong. What if something goes wrong?
Oh, well, it can still happen, but much, much better chances. But also, you know,
here we go.
There we go. This is it.
Sorry, sir, but it's time so Juice to Cogburn versus the world.
Here we go.
Put a pin in that conversation there. Take this quick show break to bring you a game. Drew, you won last week, right?
Yes.
You won last week, so you are 7-7.
7-7-1.
7-7-1. One tie. There'll never be any other tie, so there's one tie.
Wait, so 7 wins, 7 losses,
then
one tie. Okay, see, okay.
Yeah, but there will never be another tie. That was just because I didn't have a tiebreaker that week, and I was too lazy to make one up. Now I regret that decision.
Do you have one now?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I always do. I think we have actually had to use a tiebreaker quite a lot lately. We have some really, really close, really tense games. So Drew is finally back to 500. He had to struggle to get back to 500.
Took me a while.
Etchy, it's up to you to see if you can knock him back down on the 500.
Alrighty.
But since Drew, you won last week, you get to choose first. So we got two banks here, A and B, 5 things each. This week's game, it's a game we've done before, Drew. One of my personal favorites. This game is called Bruce, Spike, or Tommy Lee.
Name that Jones.
Name that Jones. Who said it? Bruce Lee, Spike Lee, or Tommy Lee Jones? I'm going to give you a quote, and you tell me who said it. It was Bruce Lee, Spike Lee, or Tommy Lee Jones. Drew, you get to choose You're going first. What do you want? You want A or B? What set of movies?
I'll go with B this time.
He wants B. All right, Drew. Well, here are your five quotes. Remember, tell me. I give you a quote. You tell me who said it. Bruce Lee, Spike Lee, or Tommy Lee Jones. Number one. Here we go. Quote. Life is wide, limitless. There is no border, no frontier.
You did say that like an Asian.
I'm going to go with Bruce.
All right, that's correct. Life is limitless. I didn't say limitless.
Limitless.
Number two, Drew, here we go. Quote, faith is something that works.
Spike?
No, Tommy Lee.
Yes, I knew it. Well, I don't know why I said yes. That's not my point. But
personal point. All right, Drew, here we go. Number three. Don't think that because you haven't heard from me for a while that I went to sleep. I am still here, like a spirit roaming the night.
Maybe that was Spike.
Maybe, or is that yes?
Yeah, sure.
Spike Lee is correct.
Yeah.
All right.
No. I was going to say, if it was Bruce Lee, like, post-mortem.
Whoa. It's the ghost of Bruce Lee.
The ghost of Bruce Lee. Oh, I forgot that was an option. All right, number four. Quote, I look upon pride as a sin.
Tommy?
That's correct.
Definitely isn't Spike.
And number five. If there is a God, he is within.
Bruce.
Oh, nice job, Drew. You got four correct on that one.
Nice
work. All right, Etchie, here we go.
So I can only miss one.
You can only miss one. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, quote, I think any stereotyping is too much.
Spike.
I'm sorry, that's Tommy Lee Jones.
Really?
Yes.
I know, you never know what Tommy Lee Jones is going to say.
Sometimes Tommy Lee Jones sounds like a bitter black guy.
Well, it sounds like something Spike would be like, oh yeah, like, you know, it's never okay to be racist, not realizing he's a racist fuck. Like, you know,
exactly.
Not very good at self-evaluating.
It goes both ways sometimes. Number two, quote, use only that which works and take it from any place you can find it.
I'm going to say Bruce.
Bruce is correct.
Yeah.
Nice.
It always sounds like
it's so prophetic,
philosophical.
Just like a wisdom, like something you would ask somebody that they'd give you a wise answer, and they're not wearing shoes.
Something coming from a Chinese cookie, maybe.
Exactly.
Hi-yo.
Number three. Ethnic stereotypes are boring and stressful, and sometimes criminal. It's non-thinking. It's stupid and destructive.
I'm gonna say Spike.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh,
that's a tough one.
God, he talks about race a lot more than I thought.
I know, right?
Yeah. Number four, the most important thing is to be truthful.
God, anybody could have said that. I'm going to say Tommy.
That's Spike. I'm sorry.
God!
Spike Lee. And finally, number five, quote, violence is a part of America.
I would say Spike.
That is Spike.
That sounds like something you might have said while defending a film.
While defending some violence in this movie. So there you go. You got 2 out of 5, so Drew wins. Good job,
yes.
Drew.
Finally.
Because
over 500.
Over 500. So because I hate wasting tiebreakers, let's take a guess, guys. How much do you think the U.S. box office, Men in Black 2, how much did that movie make starring Tommy Lee Jones?
I would say more than most sequels, wouldn't you?
More than likely. Yeah. It was the sequel wasn't bad. For once, you know, most of the time sequels are pretty crappy.
I haven't seen the third yet, but not because I didn't think it looked good.
I think the third one's better than the second one, actually.
I never saw the third
one. It looked
one
like
either.
It, honestly.
Yeah, it's fun. So, how much do you think, Drew?
$230
Etchy.
I'm going to say $300.
It made $190 million in US box office. So, there you go. So, Drew wins that round. Good job, Drew.
Thank you.
Back to
good showing, sir.
Absolutely.
Back to regularly scheduled programming. So we were talking about Don John. We recommended that. We could see it in matinees. You go to the movie theaters every now and then.
Oh, what I was going to say was it actually wouldn't really be that hard for me to catch a matinee. I should do more of that. I work at home. And
there you go.
And it's also kind of a flexible thing where I take on jobs and it's like you have, 4 days to do this job and it takes 2 days. So I could be like,
so you got your
I'll work this day I won't, this day I will, whenever I want. So I'm really flexible. I should totally be able to do that.
Yeah. You can save a couple bucks and during the day, during the week, there's like no one there.
Oh, there's nobody there during the week.
Plus, I like the idea of my wife coming home late, like all exhausted, and she'd be like, "What did you do today?" Yeah, I went to the movies.
Saw a movie.
Saw Gravity. It was pretty cool. It was pretty sweet.
Ate some popcorn. Got me a soda.
We talk about this show. I talk about the show recently when Grand Theft Auto came out. I mean, how much? $1 billion in 3 days, right?
Yeah. Almost, yeah.
Drew, do you remember how I said people started talking about how because this video game made $1 billion, that's the paradigm shift. You know, now video games are more profitable than movies. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, false.
I was gonna say I don't necessarily believe that.
At $60 to $120 a pop, false. But whatever.
Oh boy.
It seems like they only say those things when games come out, like, you know, like a new Halo will come out, which they only do once every, like...
3 or 4 years?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years. So you've been playing the same game religiously for 3 or 4 years. Well, and the day the next one it comes out, then all of a sudden they're like, well, I've made a few $100 million, you know, and then that talk happens again. And it's like, no, it was that game.
Yeah. It's not the whole industry.
Yeah.
It's a one game.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's the same thing with Rock... You know, Rockstar does have a tendency to be the people putting out those games.
Yeah, they really
more often than not. I mean, even when their games are terrible. I mean, L.A. Noire, the game was terrible, but good lord, it made so much money because it was a Rockstar game.
I liked that game.
Yeah, it was okay. It got really boring.
It was so repetitive that I didn't finish it.
Right.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But I got more than halfway through it, though.
So did I.
I loved every step until... I don't know. It's kind of like when you buy a cereal and you've only gotten halfway through the box, but you like ate it up like crazy before and then you just have one particular bite where you're like, I think I'm done.
I'm done with these Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely the Fruit Loops of video games right there.
No staying power.
Well, over at mag.newsweek.com, because Newsweek has gotten so shitty that they folded their magazine and now they're on the internet only, calling out this dude, Conrad Krawchik? Crawl? Something stupid. Conrad K. calling this dude out because he wrote this article called Car Thieves Sink the Titanic, How Grand Theft Auto Ran Over the Entertainment Industry. Here's a go. Thesis statement. The video game Grand Theft Auto is on target to become the most profitable entertainment franchise of all time.
I would say that's still Star Wars. Hello?
Yeah, no, exactly.
You guys are getting a little ahead of me, but here we go. He's talking about how the fifth episode made $800 million on its first day, and by day three it grossed $1 billion. This is based on selling 17.5 million copies of the game. And then in his article, he points out how the money, at an average of $35 a copy, the series, all Grand Theft Auto games so far, has grossed $5.4 billion.
Okay,
so that's the number he's working with.
And do remember, too, that, like, I loved the first and second one. I played them when they were new and everything. But did you ever play them?
I played San Andreas and, three. I played three and a little bit of four.
So you didn't play one or two?
No.
Have you seen one or two?
Those are the ones that are
the top-down
top
view.
It looks like you're playing...
the old postal game.
It looks like you're playing Snake.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah. You get to run over... In the first one, there's a line of Hare Krishnas that you get to run over. And in the second one, there's a line of Elvises.
Yeah.
You could run them over and get extra points.
What were you counting off over there? What were you doing all that math?
How many games were in the franchise? And there's like seven.
Seven games. So that's a hell of a lot of money. Seven games, like $5.4 billion. That's very, very respectable.
Yeah.
Right. Still, here's what he's comparing it to. He's comparing it to the Harry Potter series.
Dude, what are you, crazy?
Which made $7.7 billion in theatrical box office.
It has its own section in a freaking
theme park.
That's not included in the $7.7 billion number.
No.
Needs to be guaranteed.
It
needs to be included.
Especially all the merchandise being sold in that portion of the park.
He also talks about how Avatar made $2.8 billion worldwide. Doesn't point out that they're building the whole section of Avatar Land over at Animal Kingdom.
Oh, really? We're getting Avatar Land?
They're getting Pandora. They're building Pandora over
there. Are we getting cat people?
Yeah, they're genetic engineering cat people and everything.
Sweet.
So he's pretty much comparing the total take of the Grand Theft Auto games to just solely the box office takes of these movies.
Right.
And he compares to the Harry Potter, Titanic, Lord of the Rings, and... there's a certain film franchise conspicuously absent from Mr. Conrad's shitty little article over here.
Star Wars.
Which you guys already mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, but the other thing, too, is say a million people, and these stats are going to be way off because I suck at math, but say a million people are interested in a certain movie.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They pay how much for tickets? Like,
anywhere between...
I think the national average is around like $11, $10, $11.
Okay, all right.
That might
so,
be a little
so
high.
So let's say 10 because it's, you know, it's easy. So, it's so now they've made $10 million.
Yeah.
Say 75,000 people are interested in the game at $60.
All of
yeah,
a sudden.
No, exactly.
You're
yeah.
not talking about a bigger appeal.
Yeah, it is a higher price ticket to be able to enjoy these games.
Well, and it's a completely different media. You can't look at it that way. With a movie, you're looking for an hour and a half of enjoyment.
Yeah.
With a game, you're looking for, depending on the game, in this case, you
days,
can play that for
weeks,
a while. So
months.
You're talking, you can do months easily on
it. GTA has 100 hours of like new gameplay time.
Oh, absolutely.
Let alone the time you can spend just dicking around.
Oh, yeah. I've beaten the game already. Just because I wanted to, just in case there were spoilers or something like that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I wanted to get through that.
Yeah.
And now, like, I've got so much stuff to do. Yeah. I'm not even halfway through it, really.
It's ridiculous.
And I've beaten the storyline.
Well, yeah, that price point is a big difference. That also really... He mentions how it's $35 per copy, but doesn't mention how... You know,
yeah.
He doesn't bring it up in his horrible, horrible article.
Well, and he seems to think that, you know, like, he doesn't see that it's the genius of the product itself.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're talking about it destroying another industry. Well, it's not in that industry. And have you seen how many games are just terrible that hardly make
oh,
any
good
money?
Lord.
You're you're comparing that game to something like Titanic back in the day was the number one, you know, just all the Avatar, all that kind of stuff. But also, it takes so long to make it. Grand Theft Auto 6, if they were to make it, I'm sure they will.
Oh, obviously.
I guarantee you they got...
They already started.
They started like yesterday.
I was going to say, and if they started yesterday, when do you think it's coming out? What, like 4 years from now?
Maybe,
you
five?
You can't do that. There's no... You can't do a... It's not a movie turnout. You can't film for 3 months and then edit it out, and then 10 months later, you're ready to shove it out into the marketplace.
Exactly.
You can't do that.
Exactly. And as you guys already mentioned, right off the top of the bat, Star Wars.
Star Wars
is where it's at.
Yeah.
So, Grand Theft Auto games. Let's just play Conrad's game. Grand Theft Auto made $5.4 billion between all the games. Good job, Grand Theft Auto. Star Wars, which you neglected to mention 100%, $4.2 billion between all its movies. Seven movies, all six episodes, and then the Clone Wars animated movie.
But even then, they continue going. Like, people are still buying action figures from the original game.
Where's Grand Theft Auto? Where is their financial lifespan after you buy the game? You have DLC.
DLC.
Well, you do have DLC, but 10 years from now, are you going to be like, oh, man, let's get GTA 5.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Where the hell are you going to get that from?
Dude, look at these sweet GTA 5 t-shirts that I'm going to buy.
Two consoles away 10 years, and you're somehow going
to
get it?
Let's compare that to Star Wars, which on top of the $4.2 billion in box office sales, they have another $12 billion in toy sales alone. Add to that $3.775 billion in DVD sales. You can count that towards DLC, right? Second Life. Book sales, $1.8 billion. Video game sales, because there are Star Wars video games.
There are, yeah.
$2.9 billion.
Oh, there's got to be a dozen of them.
And they're some of them are quite good, too.
And then they have listed under other another $1.3 billion. And other includes $625 million in licensing rights, $4.5 million in television, four seasons of Clone Wars, and another $675 million in merchandising rights for a grand total of $27 billion fucking Star Wars dollars, man.
Cha-ching.
That's a lot of goddamn Disney bucks, man. You know how much ice cream we get on Main Street in Disney? With 27
you get at least 20 ice cream cones.
Holy crap. So, Conrad, screw you. Screw you, Newsweek, and your shitty article.
I think people are just dying to... And it's never people that play video games.
No, he doesn't even know what a video game is.
No. He doesn't own a console. He, you know, just hears about GTA through...
He's like, Z-Box? I got one of those. Is that where I watch my movies on?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of movies and how much money they fucking cost, The Hobbit Trilogy, the one that's coming out now.
Yes.
The Hobbit, the first one, came out last year. Hobbit
this was coming out Christmas, right?
Christmas this year. The new Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug. And then the third Hobbit movie comes out next Christmas. One every Christmas is what they're doing. These three movies have cost $561 million to make so far.
All three of them.
All three of them. That's about $187 million each.
I was going to say, that's really not bad. For what they do, how much money they bring?
How much did the first one bring in?
Oh, the first movie made $1 billion worldwide.
Oh, there you go.
So they're going to make about $3 billion, the three of them combined. When it's all said and done, they can end up spending about $200 million each on all three of these movies, because they're still, even though production is done, all the shooting and stuff on all of these CG. Everything over the course of like 200 days, they're still doing all the computer stuff, the CG stuff, and that just saw the man hours. You know,
have you seen the it's a facility in New Zealand
I've not been to New Zealand. No.
No, no. I mean, they have pictures of it, of like the cooling systems that get rid, like on the servers that get rid of all the heat for like people doing the CG and stuff.
Oh no!
Absolutely unbelievable.
Really, because there's so many people there and all the computers and shit.
Yeah, like I mean, it's so cold in there. Obviously, because the air systems. I mean, like you could crawl through. You'd probably be killed somehow, but like they're huge metal vents that you could crawl through.
Yeah,
that circulate the hot air coming from the servers and circulating back. It's the same. It's the same place that they used. Those computers were used by Avatar.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's
Have you ever sat through the credits on those movies and they get to the teams of people, and it's just a list of names.
This character's left eye was created by these 3,000 people.
It looks like the Vietnam War Memorial Wall. Yeah. Well, you know, just names and names and names.
When they first started doing Avatar, of course, you know, they kept trying to like kind of build on the technology to make it easier as they were going or whatever. But when they were first starting out, each frame took 48 hours.
Man, well,
obviously it sped up because we still wouldn't be watching it. But
that's ridiculous. That's insane. It takes so long to get through. Oh, it's so much money.
It makes me not like my computer.
Why are you taking so long? That's funny. Well, I got one more article here before we get into a few questions. Last week we had Johnny the Hater on the show.
Yes, we did.
And we had a little discussion about racism in Hollywood and in films, right? Old Johnny the Hater forwarded me this article from HuffPo, the Huffington Post.
He loves the HuffPo.
This article is called "Hollywood's Race Problem is Worse Than You Think."
Okay, how so?
When I saw the headline, I thought at first it was about the Oscar race, but it's not. Well, it is in a way. It's pretty much about how, first off, this year there's up to 4 different black actors who could possibly be nominated for Best Actor. And there's never been more than one black actor nominee at one time. For one, every year they do the Oscars, if there's been a black actor nominee, there's only one. There's never two, ever. But this year there's a possibility of 4 different people getting nominated because of all the good work that's been done. Idris Elba in the new Mandela movie that's coming out. Fruitvale Station, about the kid that got shot in Oakland. That's a really good movie. Michael B. Jordan. Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave. That's coming out soon. He's supposed to be great in it. And Forrest Whitaker for the Butler. Those four guys. But what's the same? What do these 4 roles have in common? They're all real, like true life characters. They're all characters that were played by black actors because no one else. Only black actors could play these roles.
White guy in Spider-Man.
Yeah. there was that thing, actually. They wanted...
I know.
They wanted that dude from Community.
Which is retarded.
Hey, it's Spider-Man. He's wearing a mask. He could be anybody. No, isn't Spider-Man like a
If he wanted
black...
to be a black stunt guy, then sure. Okay.
I think Spider-Man now. In the comic book, I think he's like, there's a new Spider-Man. It's like half black, half gay. No, not half gay. He's full gay. But he's half black.
Half gay.
He's half black, half Spanish, all gay, I think. I think that's New Spider-Man.
If you say so.
I'm pretty sure. Someone backed me up on that one on the old Twitters. But this one, now this points out how, and then going throughout history, for Oscar winners and nominations, the only time a black actor has ever won for acting for a role that hasn't been based on true, like a real life thing, is Denzel Washington for Training Day.
Okay.
That's a role that could have been played by black, white, and Hispanic. It could have been anyone. It didn't make any difference.
I actually know the guy that edited that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's really pretty cool.
Yeah. That was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. He edited an Academy Award nominated film right there. And then he won, too, Denzel.
Yeah. Did he? I forgot.
Denzel won.
He did absolutely win.
That's right. Okay.
But outside of that, the people that win, it's all the same. It's the same type of shit. It's people that, like, what's his name? Ray Charles, who did Ray.
Right.
Jamie Foxx.
God, I don't like him at all.
Sidney Poitier, Lilies of the Field, he played a black worker, a black immigrant worker, and it's based on a novel. Again, Whitaker, Last King of Scotland.
Love him.
Right, he won for that. But again, it's another one where it's,
you know, seriously, I mean,
you can't get a non-black guy to play that. Washington as Malcolm X, Lawrence Fishburne, What's Love Got to Do with It, I mean, Don Cheadle in Hotel Rwanda, Will Smith and Ali, Terrence Howard in Hustle and Flow. That's a black role. I mean, it's all Freeman and Invictus. And come on, man.
Hotel Rwanda, that's just a genocide movie. It just so happened that it happened in Africa.
It's just a genocide movie.
Could have been anywhere.
I don't.
There's plenty of genocide
again,
going
again,
on, Chris.
That's the thing. It's a story that's a Rwandan. So they had to get a black guy to play Rwandan because, you know, they're not going to get Daniel Day-Lewis to play it.
Although I guarantee you could have pulled it off.
He would knock it out of the park. He was Daniel Day-Lewis.
You're also saying, historically, in more racist times, there wouldn't have been a black person there. Like, that's kind of not... And I hate the Academy, but that is not their fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is not, like, if you're in the 50s and no black man is nominated, I'm sorry, that is not their fault.
Well, this is...
That's just how it was.
Well, in the 50s is one thing.
It's like, unfortunate.
Back in the day when Poitier was doing, that's one thing, but it's still going on today.
It's happening more slowly, and it shouldn't be. It should be farther.
Yeah.
But the point is also is that, like, what if we have a ton of black people in movies this year, but all of the ones they're in were terrible?
That happens.
Then they're not going to be.
We were talking about that last week with this movie Baggage Claim, and how when there is a black movie that comes out, it's usually one of these really horrible romantic comedies or something, or it's a Tyler Perry movie.
I was going to say, or it's that.
Yeah. And it's garbage. Yeah,
and it's garbage.
Or Red Tails. That was a piece of shit movie.
That almost bankrupt George Lucas.
It did. Yeah, to sell fucking Star Wars at Disney.
Actually, did you hear what his reaction was when the reviewers actually just... pounded the hell out of that movie.
What did he say? Like, it wasn't for those old white people or something like that?
No, he said they were racist.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're racist again. Yeah.
For not liking it.
Because the movie's a horrible hunk of shit. It's just so amateurish. Because he got some guy to direct it and he didn't know what he was doing.
No.
But yeah, they need better projects. And there needs to be movies where... like Michael B. Jordan has been on the record and saying he doesn't want to do movies where it has to be a black role, where he has to play a hip hop guy, or he has to play a real life black.
Or
person.
In Training Day, where he's
he said specifically he wants the Leonardo DiCaprio type role,
right?
Or he wants, you know, stuff like that Mark Wahlberg gets. He wants
something that Denzel Washington could get. Honestly, if Hollywood had to choose anybody, I think it would be him.
It's always Denzel, like with Unstoppable. It doesn't matter if it was a black character, or white character, right?
Could have been anybody,
but it was Denzel
because he looks natural in a
he's
white good. Everything.
In
every situation.
I was going to say in a white position. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's wearing a suit and tie and shoes. He could walk through a fancy golf club.
A restricted country club.
And uptight white guys wouldn't even notice he was there.
Yeah.
Like, he just fits into that. And, you know, I don't know.
He blends in.
Yeah.
He is Denzel.
Exactly. He could just slide right in there.
Oh, he's good.
Him and actually Jamie Foxx is a lot like that. I really hate saying that. I really hate him.
Yeah, you know, Jamie's okay. He comes across as so cocky, though.
Well, he is.
There you go.
That's why he comes off cocky.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he's good. He's good.
He's amazing. When I saw him as Ray Charles, holy shit.
Or in Django. Man. Yeah. He's so good in Django and
I still haven't seen that. I really... I know. And not because I didn't want to. Well, that's the other thing, I think, with, you know, when it comes to people that have any kind of commentary on Hollywood or whatever, where, you know, sometimes they go, look at Django Unchained, you know, and it's just like, yeah, they said the N-word a lot. Why did you go see his movie? Like...
Well, yeah, it's more...
if you've seen Reservoir Dogs Pulp Fiction... If you've seen one of those movies...
It's a movie set in the South of America.
1840s Mississippi.
Before the Civil War.
Everyone.
Well, I mean, the point being, though, if you've
come
ever,
on,
if you've
what
ever
do you
seen
expect?
One of his movies,
his movies
stop
are,
seeing the rest of his movies.
Yeah, they're very vulgar.
What did you think?
Yeah, if that's going to bother you now, that means you haven't seen, like, Pulp Fiction or something.
Even to me, the character
he played in Pulp Fiction.
I was going to say, even to me, that still shocks me every time I watch it, just because I'm not used to a white person openly saying something like that.
Yeah, being that vulgar,
When he said about the sign in front of his house, you know, where, like, I mean, every single time, and I've seen the movie 100 times, every time he says it, I'm like, my jaw drops.
It's still very cringeworthy.
But the reason I actually like that it's there is because I like that I never would have realized otherwise that my reaction would have been that extreme.
It got that out of you, yeah.
Because people don't, I don't know, I don't live in an area or know people that would say that outright that, would, like that. That would freak me out.
But then you play GTA and that thing is N-bomb crazy.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, my God. Yeah, it is.
Holy cow.
Dude, and F-bomb crazy.
Yeah.
Every pedestrian in that show, in that thing.
Yeah, yeah, you don't get a response out of that. Yeah, when somebody, the first time a video game actually dropped the F-bomb, though, I did, you do kind of go, yeah. What?
Wait a minute. Excuse me?
I'm a child. That shouldn't be
I'm waiting for Mario to say it.
Oh.
Mario will never say fuck.
It's like, fuck you!
Never. Fuck you, it's a me, Mario.
Yeah, fuck off, it's a Mario.
Exactly.
Okay, I got some questions here. I got a question from @NathanWilliams_ on Twitter. He says, what movies this year should have gone straight to DVD?
Oh,
that's a pretty good question.
God, I wish we had a list.
The questions get sprung up on us. Yeah. So I do remember that John Cusack one that came out recently where he was driving with Selena Gomez, was in a seat next to him. Remember those commercials?
It wasn't John Cusack. It was Ethan Hawke.
It was Ethan Hawke. It was another blind white guy.
That one should definitely have been switched DVD.
That
John
Hawke
Cusack is the epitome of I don't look like anything particular.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is.
White.
We needed just some kind of normal guy in here. Get John Cusack.
That's wrong. We need Nixon.
Random white guy.
Because, you know, he's cheap.
Yeah. Probably is pretty cheap.
Probably now,
these days.
Who the hell needs a John Cusack in their movie?
Yeah.
That's a pretty tough question. Can you think of anything, Drew, at all? Or have you seen anything, maybe?
God. I mean, over the past year, God. Because, again, I've got that movie going problem.
Yeah. Well, it could be even something a little older. Any movie. I'll just say any movie that you've ever seen that was in the theater. Like, why is this?
Street Fighter should have gone straight to DVD.
Oh,
Doom.
Yeah.
Doom should have gone straight to DVD.
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
What a horrible, horrible movie.
Nothing was right with that movie. That doesn't make any sense.
Hey, well, there you go. Came to a consensus on that one. That was Doom for you. It's on the last year, but screw it. At Matt Celery has his... Oh, yeah, that's a few questions. Favorite 80s action movie. I love 80s action movies. I would say my favorite, though, was Commando.
Do you remember that one?
I love Commando.
Die Hard.
Oh, this Die Hard. Oh, but Die Hard.
Oh, God.
Die Hard is just my favorite. Die Hard is just like my favorite 80s movie.
I was actually trying to think of something 80s-ish that was in the 80s.
Yeah. Die Hard.
Otherwise,
all
I would have thought Die Hard. But,
Die Hard all the way.
God, what was that one? Dress to Kill. The one where, with the shoe, when he walked with the shoes. Yes!
Yeah.
And actually, the chick in that was from Burn Notice.
Oh, really?
That's Fee.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. When she actually had more fat on her.
Oh, interesting. Fee, so what you're saying, a rack. She had a rack?
She had like, you know, B's or C's or something. But now, she, if you ever watch Burn Notice, man, she just...
It's a skinny twig.
She looks like she could be blown off by, you know, just taken away.
That's a fun movie. That is a fun movie. Dressed
it's a great TV show, by the way, too.
What, Burn Notice? This guy's a...
No, I watched the first couple seasons.
I watched every single one.
I mean, I love Bruce Campbell, but he can only do so much.
What? Bruce Campbell can do anything in the world.
He can do it all, if you ask me. Matt Slattery also says, movies enjoyed more the second time you watched them. You know what came to mind? The one movie that came to mind when I thought of this, Fight Club.
A
movie that you liked more the second time you watched it. Fight Club was one of those where the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, man, this movie is incredible.
Yeah. Upstream Color.
Oh, Upstream Color is one, yes.
Only because the first time I watched it, I wasn't quite sure what I had just seen.
That movie makes more sense.
Kind of for the same reason, Fear and Loathing.
Yes.
Which is my favorite movie, actually. I've seen it 100 times since, but yeah.
There you go. Yeah, it definitely...
the first time you see it, it's... I don't know. There's so much to take in, and there's...
That happened to me.
So much confusion.
That happened to me with Big Lebowski.
Inception.
Yeah. Oh, Inception. Yeah. That one I love. Well, that one I did grow to appreciate it more the second and third time I saw it, because I could see more of the layers and like all the shit.
Right.
That
there's... It's not that you're lost. You get the idea, but you kind of go, I'll figure that out later.
Yeah, you can pick up the It's like, there's a lot going on the first time around. I'll come back to it. On the flip side, movies that you saw and then you liked them less the second time around that you saw them. Can you think of anything?
Oh, jeez.
Anything all like that? Like, I definitely saw something like The Avengers is one where when I saw it in theaters, I was like, it's good. But then when I saw it on DVD, I was like,
really?
It's kind of boring.
I don't think I ever even bothered to watch it again on DVD.
Oh, you never saw it a second time?
I don't think I care to.
It was good. I liked it a lot.
It's good. No, it was good.
But then, not $1 billion good.
Yeah, $1.5 billion.
Okay, so
thank
not $1.5 billion. You could take
third highest grossing movie of all time. Thank you very much.
Take off an entire billion, and that's about what I think of it.
Holy shit. Wow.
Scathing.
Knock it down.
Knock it down. It's Niagara Falls.
Good.
Can you think of anything else? No, we didn't even think of that. We didn't even see that.
I mean,
I'll keep that in the back of my head.
Most of the superhero movies these days,
and they don't hold up so well.
Don't hold up very well. I mean, you're excited to see them because, you know, it's something new and exciting and cool. Yeah. And then
I thought Thor was okay.
You watch it again, it's just
I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, like, you know, stuff like Thor and
Captain America.
I
saw Captain America on one of the televisions, and it was
It
was just not good.
Yeah, those I never bothered rewatching because I saw it once. It was okay enough. I was like, I don't have to see this again.
Yeah,
who knows what a second watch would do?
I've got it actually. Now that we think about it, the one that I saw the second time that wasn't great was the sequel to Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2
was a stinker.
Yeah, it's not very good.
I still thought it was pretty good, but like I was like, whoa, when I first saw it, and then I saw it again and went, okay.
It doesn't hold up as well. It's crazy how that happens. Yeah. I got a question from Twitter, Twitter user, I think you know this guy, Etchy, at YBMeToday.
Just skip that one.
That's a good question. Best classic porn. We were talking about Don John and porn and stuff. So
Debbie Does Dallas,
in.
Dude.
Debbie Does Dallas. I was going to say, and what's the other one that people...
The first porn I ever saw.
Oh, boy, here we go.
It probably won't live up to its exposition, like if I saw it again.
Yeah. Because
I saw it when I was in like fifth grade.
So you don't think the second watch would be as good?
But it was called Sinful Sisters. And it involved... It was incest porn.
Oh, nice.
Was
that a 70s porn?
It was 70s or 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, the cool part about it, though, because, like I said, I was in fifth grade, I think. Mm-hmm. So, like, the thing that, like, you know, usually you'd be like, but, I mean, you could totally tell these people were not related.
Yeah, they're not, yeah.
And it had the best, you know how sometimes they throw out, if there's a plot to it, they'll just kind of throw out a line to, like, move forward.
Uh-huh.
Because they can't write for shit, basically.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the kids were diddling themselves upstairs. And then basically downstairs, they've got this white, I think he was white trashy kind of dude,
mm-hmm.
plowing this fat black woman.
Yeah. Nice.
And I guess they wanted you to know that this guy was not having sex with a random woman. So the woman at the top of her lungs screams, "Yes, I love being the fat black stepmother."
Awesome.
It was the
amazing.
Greatest thing. Oh god.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Sinful Sisters.
Sinful Sisters, yep.
Keep an eye out for that one, preferably so listener, Sinful Sisters.
Because that one's gonna make it to DVD.
One day. It'll be on the Netflix somehow.
If not, I guarantee you it's digitized somewhere.
It's somewhere.
It's on the internet somewhere.
You said Debbie Does Dallas.
Yes.
That's one of like those popular, like the most famous one.
Debbie Does
Dallas.
And then the other one is Deep Throat, the Linda Lovelace.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? So those are the two. And then Caligula sort of a porn.
And then actually, have you ever seen any parts of The Stallion?
The Italian Stallion?
Italian Stallion. Sorry, yeah.
No, I haven't.
I have. It's It was like a 20-second clip, and there's no nudity because nothing had happened yet. Shows kind of like how young he is.
Yeah.
But
so you didn't see anything else going on?
It was just like, holy shit.
I never saw that one.
I was actually, I had known for years, that he had done this.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
does.
Yeah, yeah. It's his
common
open
knowledge.
Secret that everyone knows. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
right. But really, to me, it was just one of those things. It's kind of like when you're watching you flip on an old movie on AMC or something. And all of a sudden you see an actor that's really old now. Like, I don't know, you see Dick Clark when he's like 30 and you're like, oh my God!
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
It was like that because he was really, I think he was like 20 or something.
Oh, wow.
You know, just seeing, you know, Sylvester Stallone at 20, like it's really like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And it's obviously still him, but wow.
Especially you see someone like, I like seeing old James Caan movies. Like I've only seen him at old, only old. And then
no,
you see
exactly.
him young, like, what?
It's like seeing Michael Caine or...
yes.
Who's that? Alan Arkin.
Yes.
Young Alan Arkin. It's like, who the hell is this guy?
All right. And last question for the show is from good old Billy D, official show correspondent Billy D. He says, "Gentle people, in honor of the month of October, I present a special version of Kiss, Marry, Kill."
Okay.
Oh.
So here we go, guys. We're going to play Kiss, Marry, Kill with George Romero, Wes Craven, and John Carpenter. Says Billy D. So, which one of you guys wants to go first? Actually, you're to guess. So you go first.
I forgot the other two, but I'm going to say Mary George Romero because I met him once. He's really nice.
Oh, really?
No, yeah.
Very
yeah.
nice. Cool.
And,
all right.
But what were the other two?
Wes Craven and John Carpenter. So Wes Craven did, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and John Carpenter is The Thing. And,
John Carpenter, I would say, fuck, because okay. I don't want to kill him.
Okay.
Because he's so awesome. Because he does the music, too.
Yeah,
he does. Because he did the music for Halloween.
And they,
not only was Halloween amazing, but the soundtrack was like, oh, yeah. Like, oh yeah.
Damn. Yeah, yeah, or the bass-heavy They Live soundtrack. I love that stuff.
Yeah, can't kill him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so then you're killing Wes Craven.
All right,
Wes Craven said no more new nightmares. Drew?
I'm going to have to agree with that, man.
You're just going to go with that one straight up?
No, I was thinking about it the whole time, and he was just right on point.
I'm going to marry John Carpenter because he's getting those residual checks for all the movies that get remade.
Well, and remember, Chris, you are the warmest place to hide.
Man is the warmest place to hide. So I'm going to marry John Carpenter and mooch off those remake monies and then just play video games with the guy all day because that's all he does. And then I guess I'll kill
Wes Craven.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna kill Wes Craven.
Everyone likes George Romero. I can't kill George Romero unless I kill him. He comes back as a zombie.
No,
I don't feel like there's no personal information on Wes Craven. Like I don't know if he's known for being a nice guy or a dick.
Yeah,
I don't know what
Wes
he looks like.
He's just Wes Craven.
Yeah, he's just all I see is his name. There's no person behind it to me.
So we'll kill him.
Other than I know he has come out with some really good stuff. You know, I enjoy his
stuff. Freddy Krueger is a great character.
By the way, also Robert Englund, one of the coolest guys you can ever meet.
Oh, really?
Nice as shit.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems like he'd be a nice guy.
Well, it was really too. Actually, I didn't know he was. It was at a convention, same place that I met Romero. Actually.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend at the time, I'd never been to a convention. She's like, come with me. I'm like, yeah, sure, I guess.
Yeah, just check
out. Yeah, and I didn't know who was going to be there or anything like that, you know. And, but anyway, she goes, that's Robert Englund. And at the time, you know, this is, I don't know, 2004 or 2005 or something. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to, I didn't know his name, you know. And I go,
who is that? Who's Robert
Englund? Okay, you know, and she's like, Freddy Krueger. I'm like, no, that is not Freddy Krueger. Like, you know, and then he was posing for pictures. And when posing, he would do that, like, you know, with the thing, you know. And it was funny because when it happened, I go, oh, my God, that's Freddy Krueger. Like, I mean, it just, unless he does that, you'd have no idea. He's just a nice-looking old man.
Just a normal-looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Do you remember what convention that was?
No, it was a lesser-known convention.
Something con?
It was, no, actually, I don't think so. But it was mostly for toys like, you know, like Transformer.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, old collectibles
old
and G.I. stuff like
Joes
that.
And stuff.
They had some comic books and other stuff there, of course, right like on. They always would. But, you know, it was a smaller convention. And, again, like, that's the only one I've ever gone to. I was never really into them.
Right.
So, but, yeah, when I went there, I also met the voice of Space Ghost.
Nice.
That was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
Love Space Ghost.
Yeah, and the best way to discover that, too, is to walk by them when you don't know it, and they're talking to somebody, and you're like, what the fuck?
No, where's that voice coming from? Where's Space Ghost?
Yeah,
I know you, Space Ghost. You're here somewhere.
Yeah, either that or there's Stevie's going around, and you're looking, you're like, which one's playing Space Ghost?
No, exactly.
That is awesome. That's very cool. All right, well, it's now time for the end of the show. We're going to wrap things up, but first, we're going to do a lightning round.
Oh, dear.
I have 10 questions for you.
Okay.
All right, we're going to fly through them. First thing that comes to mind, boom, that's your answer. This is our little, you know, psychological breakdown of the guest. We're going to get into your mind. You ready to let us in?
Okay.
Here we go. Man, question number one, pretty interesting, too. This came up earlier in the show. Number one, Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, Ben Affleck as Batman, good or bad?
Bad.
Number two, what is your favorite number?
27.
Number three, Nintendo or Sega?
Nintendo.
Number four, ska punk or sky porn?
Ska punk.
Number five, describe your dream sandwich.
Peanut butter and jelly. I know, it's not much of a dream, but I love them.
All right, number six. How do we solve the government shutdown?
Ignore it. That's what I do everything government-wise. Okay. And it just seems to keep moving. I don't know why.
It's still moving forward. Number seven. Would you rather vacation in Moscow in the winter or party in Death Valley in the summer?
Moscow in the winter.
Moscow in the winter.
Yeah, I've always lived in a tropical climate here. I've lived here my entire life.
Also something different.
I've only seen snow twice.
Overrated.
I've never seen snow. Screw it.
Super overrated.
Both times I was a little kid, so it's like, you didn't get the whole, like, oh, I can't move my car, and I can't... Everything that pisses you off as an adult, didn't get. I just got to play in it.
Yeah.
All right, so Moscow and Winter, here you go. Number 8, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Should we fix that shit?
No.
Number 9, which invention is greater, sliced bread or iPhones?
iPhones, because I think somebody's going to figure bread out eventually.
All right. And finally, number 10, can you name 3 Peanuts characters?
No. Snoopy.
Yeah.
Woodstock.
Yeah.
And Charlie Brown.
There you go.
Okay, all right.
All right, you did it. I would also would have accepted Lucy, Linus, Sally, Peppermint Patty, Marcy, Franklin, Violet Gray, Schroeder, and Pig Patty.
See, I was originally thinking of the actual, like, human kids, and I wouldn't have been able to do 3.
You may go straight to Snoopy.
Yeah.
You got it.
Once I got Charlie Brown and I was done, I'm like, oh, good, because I can't go any further.
Good.
I'm stuck.
Very good. Well, there you go. That was your lightning round. Very good. All right. Appreciate it. There's those 4 colorful bags right behind you. You see them?
Ooh,
those
are
your swag bags. If you go ahead and just choose a color, Drew will grab it for you. Which one would you like? Pink, red, green, or blue?
I'll do a red.
All right. Grab that red bag, Drew. Pass it on down this way. This is your swag bag. You know, when people go to award shows, celebrities get their swag bags with their iPads and their shit in there.
So there's an iPad in it.
No, this is the opposite of a swag bag. This is not one of the $50,000 ones.
Right.
This one has an average value of about $7. So
awesome.
Here we go. You are getting a copy. DVD. Oh, 2 movies for the price of 1. John Wayne in Helltown and John Wayne in The Desert Trail. So you're getting 2 John Wayne Westerns.
John Wayne movies.
John Wayne is awesome.
There you go. Hope you enjoy that. You're getting a Glitter Girl nail set. A set of fake nails there.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy
that. I'll be using those in my next show.
Here's an 8-pack of fake cockroaches.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
My wife is going to be enjoying these.
Just in time for the end of summer, a pair of swim goggles.
Nice.
Nice swim goggles, fresh out of the package. That's some good stuff.
Man. Oh, yeah. Quality.
Oh, here we go. That's Gross brand. Boogers. Pull them, stretch them, soft and gooey. A ball of boogers.
This is like going to the store and my mom saying okay to everything. Like at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Can I get this? Can I get that?
It's like, come on, sure. Where's the cap gun?
That was a couple guests ago.
Someone's got a cap gun. A 2-pack of colorful glue sticks.
Ooh.
So when you glue things, you can glue them in color.
That's awesome.
And
these, don't they, like, they're in color and then don't when they dry, don't they dry clear?
I don't know.
Only one way to find out.
They're cheap, though. I guarantee they're toxic.
glue something important to you and see what happens. And I got some Crest Booty Soap stickers here for you.
You know what? I was going to say, when you came to my show and you gave me one, I immediately, and I don't do this with everything, but dude, I love your stickers.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I went straight home and I have a, on my desk, I have a an old sticker from The Experience.
Uh-huh.
I have a Tom and Dan sticker.
Nice.
I've got a... Rampant Radio sticker, and then this one I put immediately right next to Rampant Radio. When I got home, I'm gonna stick this down.
Very nice. Good. I really appreciate that. Drew helped out with that sticker. He's one half of the creative team behind Cinema Crest Woody.
Yes,
so
I am.
So I'm glad you enjoyed that. Yeah, and enjoy all the crap, dude.
Yeah.
All your free shit. Thanks for coming on the show. We really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I had an awesome time.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We'll have you back on soon so you can do the full show experience, the whole thing again. Shout outs to Ivan Lopez from Rampant Radio for coming on for the first half. We really appreciate that. And that brings us to the end of episode 39. So, Drew, thank you.
Very welcome, sir.
Etchy, good seeing you.
Had a great time. Good to see you, too.
That's the end of the show. I don't have a sign off, so fuck off.